Do you push love away? We all do. In this episode, you'll get to understand why you do that, how you can stop, and the gift that lies beneath the pattern of pushing love away. The tools you'll learn here will have the power to change your future in love. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I am a psychotherapist. I'm a coach. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive, and your host in this podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about something so exciting, so important, which is, do you push love away? Spoiler alert, yes, if you're human. How do you push love away? And what is a way to be able to change that? And I'm going to be able to also share a paradigm that has really changed my life and changed so many other people's lives as well in this episode. So I look very forward to just a minute from now. But first, I just want to say that this podcast is my commitment to share with you the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, and the skills of intimacy are the most precious skills of all to have a rich and meaningful life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating path to intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. You'll get a free ebook from me. You can join my mailing list, and you'll see all of the episodes with transcripts of every single episode. And it's like almost 190 now, and we've had way over a million downloads. So that is wonderful. And I so would appreciate you sharing any reviews, subscribing as well. That would be great. Okay, let's jump in. So, part one, do you push love away? So my question to you is, are you breathing? And if you're breathing, you push love away. Because if you're breathing, you're alive and you're human. And love is the most precious commodity in so many ways in life. And just like any precious commodity, there's going to be stuff around it. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be triggers. There's going to be defense mechanisms. So very true about love. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So the answer there is yes. And then the next question becomes, how do you push love away? And that is a question that, you know, any conscious, thoughtful human being should really, really, really be focusing on. What are my patterns? What are my flight patterns? How do I push away love? How do I not come to the door when love is there? How do I not invite intimacy in my life? What are the conscious and unconscious things that I do that don't allow the joy and the power of intimacy to come in? Or what are the ways that I don't have the skills yet to invite intimacy or to cultivate it in my life? And the answer is that there are always going to be many ways that that's true. This is something I say many times. There is not a day that goes by that I am not humbled by my clay feet when it comes to love and how much I have to learn and all the ways that I miss love. I mean, there's so many ways that I celebrate love and give love, absolutely. But there's so many ways that I miss love, that I push love away, that I miss the bids, I miss the cues. And it's part of being human, but I think that part of being consciously human is to really know your patterns. And then step three is, how do you heal them? How do you change them? Now, this is rich, rich, rich material for an episode that's going to be like 20 minutes. So the thing that I'm going to focus on the most is a paradigm, which I have found life-changing. And it's a paradigm for understanding your defenses, the wounds that cause those defenses, and the gift that lies within that wound, which is the heart and soul of my teaching. And this is going to be, this paradigm is going to be an instrument for you that can guide you to understand the ways you push love away and heal the ways you push love away and invite the party in, the party of possible love in your life and the potential for love in your life. So first, I just want to talk a little bit about this thing of pushing love away. If we're all on the same page that we're assuming, yeah, we do it, what causes us to do it? Well, so many different things and too much to go into in detail now, but trauma causes us to do it because we freeze up in the presence of love when there's trauma. We lock. We are in a state where we're just not able to take it in or be available for it. That is kind of a big part of what trauma is. So trauma from the past is one thing that holds us back. Another is low self-esteem, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, but low self-esteem because when you don't like yourself, you don't want to be touched. It brings up shame. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be recognized. Another is fear, you know, and that's like maybe different than the not liking yourself in that you've been hurt. We've all been hurt. And being touched is scary because what if I'm not loved? The worst thing is, this is the worst thing, is having love that you really trust betray you and leave you. If it's like an asshole or a jerk that you're like really, really attracted to and they leave you or betray you, it's horrible. It's unbelievably painful, but it's not somehow as existentially painful as when there was someone you really, really trusted. That's scary. And that's another reason we push love away. All of us have been hurt and we don't want to get hurt again. If we have an active addiction, a substance abuse addiction, an alcohol addiction, our first love is going to be the addiction. Our first loyalty in many ways is going to be the addiction, sex addiction. And so we can't really be available to love because our first loyalty is to the thing that we're addicted to. Even though it might look like we're able to do love, we're not really able to do it. Another thing, another kind of way that we push love away is if love is inviting us to look at or feel certain things that we are not ready to look at and not ready to feel, we will push love away. Another is habits. Like I know for me, if I was going to list the ways that I push love away, and my husband too, I would say that about him too. Both of us, we both have this, is looking at our cell phone. Looking at our cell phone and not wanting to look up when the other person is talking about whatever, because we're in the middle of God knows what, some ridiculous like TikTok thing or whatever, or like politics news. But that tendency to look for quick dopamine in the environment on the phone instead of being present for the slower vibe of connectedness. Somebody said something to me once that I found so brilliant. I just love this. She was a grandmother. And she said, you know, like when the grandkids are here, they're on the floor, they were little, and you don't want to get down on the floor with them because you have to bake, you have to cook, you have to clean, you've got something you need to write, you've got a call you need to make. And it hurts. It like hurts to let go of all of that. There's pain. Then you sit on the floor, you connect with them, and you're good because you're in the groove of connectedness. I thought that was so wise to be able to name that particular hurt. And that hurt, I know for me, is one of the things that keeps me from moment-to-moment intimacy in my life. When we're feeling dysregulated for whatever the reason, I know that when I'm stressed or when I'm worried, it's hard for me to be present to love. It's hard for me to be present to appreciation. So these are some examples, a bunch of different examples of the things that cause us to push love away. So I'm going to share this beautiful paradigm with you, but first I just want to mention an experience I had that taught me so much. It was a psychodrama group that I was in where we were exploring the connection between sexuality and spirituality. Anyway, there was one exercise that I will never, never forget. It was so empowering and just, I guess, life-changing for me. And this was what we had to do. We had to identify the part of ourselves that did not feel able to connect, that didn't feel ready to connect, that felt unworthy of connection or too traumatized or whatever it is that like the part of us that like didn't want to be touched, didn't want to be seen. We had a group of people around us, people we trusted because we'd been in this group for a while. We had to go into that role of the like, don't see me, don't touch me. No place. And then we had to instruct the people around us about what we needed in that place, how they should be with us. And I found it really amazing because what I realized was they needed to give me distance, but not too much distance. I needed to feel them present and not wanting anything from me, allowing me to have this space. And that's a trauma place for me, is this thing of space. Growing up in a family of Holocaust survivors, Holocaust survivors like bond really close as families. And there's sometimes it's just not enough breathing room. And I am someone who needs breathing room. And I always felt like the outsider in my family because of all the breathing room I needed. So I felt a lot of shame around that. I felt like I was murdering love in my family because of my need for space. And I saw it as an incapacity to love, but it wasn't an incapacity to love. It was the fact that I needed space to be able to let the waves of love and connectedness come. I thought I was broken. I wasn't broken. I just had a different rhythm. And I was able to express that in this workshop with this community of people. And I felt so normalized. This part of me felt normalized and like it had words and like it had language for the first time, which was really cool and really amazing and changed me as a therapist and as a person, because now I want to give that to people too. I know that the parts of us where we think we can't receive love need to put words on the instructions that we want to give the people around us for how we can receive love or how we need space. The minute we can put instructions on what feels best for us when we're not feeling ready for love and connectedness, it's liberation. It's a kind of liberation, and it allows us not to feel alien. And it allows us to feel like there is a language with which we can participate in the world, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And now I want to get to this fabulous paradigm. Okay, here's what it is. It is this, that all of us, as we're saying, have defenses against love. So within our defenses, the defense mechanisms we create to push love away or distance ourselves from love, within every defense lies a wound. That makes perfect sense, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have to create these defenses. Within every defense lies a wound. Within every wound lies a gift, a core gift, a place of our humanity. And within that gift lies a portal to our potential to our greatest self, to the source of our self. Within that gift lies our healing, our freedom, and our mission. So this is an amazing thing when we know this. So let's break this down. Oh, I hurt my finger. So I feel like I've been like raising this every now and then. But so if I have, that's my finger. And it's in a brace. Okay, let's break these three amazing things down. Okay, so let's take the outside of this, which is your defenses. And so your defenses, these are your flight patterns. These are the ways you push love away consciously and unconsciously. These are the things that I was saying. It's so important that we know how we do that. By the way, one way to find out really quick is ask the people who know you, love you, and treasure you. Maybe even exes, if you have a really good relationship and they do not have an axe to grind with you, how they see you either pushing love away, not being available for deeper love, not inviting deeper love, disappearing. They'll tell you. I mean, you will know a lot of this yourself, but they will tell you as well. So this is a step of great bravery that we all need to do is like, yeah, I push love away. I am human. I push love away. Here are my patterns for how I do that. And then we recognize that. Then, which is huge, huge, huge. And then, you know, we need to get help with that. The next level in is inside every defense mechanism lies a wound or numerous wounds. So we have to think, what is the sadness? What is the pain? What is the hurt? What are the ways that my true self was not given oxygen? What are the ways in which this, the most authentic me, was given the message that this world, this society, this whatever, this relationship is the wrong place to be real? What are the ways that we weren't seen and met in our authenticity? What were the ways that we were betrayed, taken advantage of, or even abused? So, you know, when we just see our defenses, the first thing we think is like, oh God, that's embarrassing. That's, you know, bad. That's like really, really not good that I do that. Then we give ourselves the space to go to a deeper level of compassion. And we say, okay, so what's the hurt there? So an example of this, let me just take you through an example, and I'll use me as an example. So a defense mechanism that I have is that I can get angry or irritated. And then the people who love me, they feel that. They feel my anger or they feel my, and or they feel my irritation. And it pushes people away and it doesn't let us get through our problems, whatever those are. Okay, so what's the wound then underneath that? So I see this. I'm not like happy about it. I don't like it. It's something I work on a lot and I've done a lot of work on and have more work to do on. But that's not the end of this. Then the next question. And you know what, folks? I would love you as I go to pick one of your own. Okay, a really like kind of foreground defense that you do that keeps intimacy away. It might be avoidance for you. It might be judgmentalness. It might be self-consciousness self-consciousness would be more the wound. Avoidance would be like the behavior. Being judgmental might be the behavior. Being workaholic might be the behavior. So then the next question is, what's the wound that lies underneath that? Is that something to think about? So for me, I mean, there's a number of wounds that lie underneath that, but one is I am an HSP, a highly sensitive person, and I feel like down to my bones when things feel wrong, and it troubles me. It dysregulates me. I feel it. I feel like I have to do something about it right away. I'm also really compassionate. So when there's a break in connection or when someone isn't being seen or recognized or anything like that, it hurts me. It dysregulates me. And I can become angry. Another wound there is that this part of me was never validated in my childhood, so that I was always made to feel oversensitive or wrong. So when we feel something and we're made to feel like we're wrong, two things happen. One, we suppress it. And two, we become strident, like over intense about it. So I'm both of those, but the anger is a kind of stridency that also comes from a history of this deep capacity for noticing what feels good and right and feeling great joy at that, noticing what doesn't feel right and just feeling kind of, you know, wounded, deeply wounded by that. Those are some of the wounds that create this in me. So those are the wounds. That's the next step. And then the next step after that is, can you find, and so think about your wound. And then the next step is the treasure step. What's the core gift? What are the beautiful gifts that lie inside that wound? Another way to put that really simply is, what are the parts of you that were hurt? How, if they were treated well and given just what they wanted, how would those parts of you actually be able to behave as gifts? So for me, this deep sensitivity to what feels right and what doesn't feel right is why I can be a good psychotherapist, because I feel these nuances subtly and deeply, and I have built the skills to be able to present them and offer them in ways that feel supportive and helpful. But the gift there is how I feel nuance of offness and nuance of onness, of rightness. That's a deep, deep gift of mine. And it connects to my mission, because my mission in writing, in working, is that I feel pain, I feel offness, and I have this impulse to want to correct it and to fix it. These are core gifts of mine. These are soul gifts of mine. So I want you to take a minute and think about this. And, you know, in my intensive, we spend 3 months naming these core gifts, because what I have come to really believe is that if we want to heal woundedness, it's got to begin with a loving and treasuring of our deepest authentic self, and then becoming organized, internally organized around the honoring of that us. I think that's the path to happiness. I think that's the path to power, personal power in a good way, and it's the path to mission. So as I became less ashamed of this hypersensitivity in me and saw it more and more as a treasure and a gift, my work developed, my life developed, my relationships developed, and I had a lot more happiness, and I have a lot more happiness because of that, because I saw the gift that was discovered through the wound. And that wound was the wound that sparked the troublesome behaviors that I was doing. So how about for you? What might be the core gift that was wounded, that was hurt, that was not seen? In its purest form, if it was seen, loved, given what it needed, what would it become? That's how we know our core gift. For me, if that part of me was honored, oh, that's like really intuitive, Ken. Yeah, you're right. That did feel off. I can feel it. Thank you for giving that to me. Or Ken, yeah, what you just described, that feels good. You're right. That does feel really good. That brings me joy. I wasn't even seeing it. When that happens for me, I feel like I get to live. Like I bloom, I blossom. And it was that experience which was given to me by my practice that allowed me to become so much more of what I am. How about for you? What might be the core gifts there? And then those core gifts are more than just nice things. They're different than strengths, because they feel like wounds a lot. When these parts of ourselves are not given oxygen, they feel like pain. When they're given oxygen and space and whatever it is that they need, they feel like beauty. They feel like happiness. We feel a blossoming of self. And when that happens, we want to play. We want to play in the world. We want to be authentic. We want intimacy. We want the dance. We want the fun. We want the aliveness. We can say yes to life because we are now honoring this part of ourselves. And I believe that that part of ourselves, that your core gift is more than just a nice thing that you have or a good thing or a special quality. I believe that it is a portal to your mission in this life. And personally, I believe that it's a portal to the sacred, and it's a portal to this amazing, amazing being that you can become. And the more that you understand and can traverse this thing of going from admitting the defense to holding the wound with care and compassion, to finding the gift inside the wound and seeing the beauty and the power and the potential of that gift, the more you can traverse that, the more amazing you'll become, and the less you will consciously and unconsciously push love away. So I hope this paradigm is helpful. It's been life-changingly helpful for me and, you know, many of the many, many, many people that I work with in all of my work. So I hope it was helpful for you. Thank you so much for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. And I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.